Who is Jesus Christ to you? At the beginning, I thought it was weird. But when I started researching on it, I realized that it's worth sharing. So you see what happens here. But before we start, let's share a word of prayer. Father everlasting, we thank you once more for this important moment. We thank you for being with us from the beginning of the service till this moment. Father, we pray that let the Holy Spirit enlighten us, that as we are ready to hear your word, prepare our heart, prepare our mind, and Father, I pray that speak through me unto your people, that every word that will come from me should be from you. That, Father, the word will not just come out, but for what reason it is coming out, it shall accomplish it. We pray against every spirit of distraction. We pray for your spirit of concentration. See us through successfully. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. The sermon is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 16, from verse 13 to 27. We all know that Jesus Christ had special people he was working with. He chose them among many to be his disciples. And according to the Bible, Jesus started his ministry at the age of 30 and ended it at the age of 33, which means that he was with the disciples for 3 years. And somewhere within those 3 years, he gave them a test. He gave them an exam to see if they really know whom they are following. And verse 13 says that when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am? Say that I, the Son of Man, am." Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? We know Jesus as the most humble person on earth. The question is, he already tells the apostles that he is the man of God. But he needed more than just this particular answer from them. But he wanted to know the opinion of people about him. What do people think about him? But one thing over here is that we know those days there are some group of people who always criticize him. But Jesus didn't want to know what his critics think about him. But he wanted to know those who love him, those who follow him. He could have asked that, "What do you think the Gentiles and the Pharisees say that I am?" But he was more specific. "People in the world, what do you think they say that I am?" Because he knows that the apostles have contact with them most of the time. Even though Jesus also have contact with them, sometimes they are so large that they cannot get their opinions one after the other. So he wanted to get it from the apostles who are representing those people in front of Jesus. And they gave some answers. So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And all the answers that they gave were right. Because those days, many people thought that he is John the Baptist, because God promised them a Messiah, that the Messiah shall come, and these are some of the signs that you have to look out for. And to them, John the Baptist was a very great preacher. He was preparing the way for Christ's coming. So some people thought he is rather the Messiah. So when Jesus asked them, he said, some people thought you are John the Baptist. Jesus is the greatest preacher. They link him to what John Baptist was doing. He was doing more than John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. We know the story of Elijah. He was so prayerful, he was performing miracles. So when Jesus came, the very few times that people were with him, they saw the miracles. And some also think that Elijah will come back. So once there's somebody doing what Elijah was doing to them, then that is Elijah. Some said Jeremiah. We know about Prophet Jeremiah. His nickname is the weeping prophet. He always weeps. He cries for the people. And Jesus also, in front of the Father or before the Father, he cries for the forgiveness of our sins. He laments. He does everything for us to be converted. So some also thought that we knew a prophet like that. So if this guy is doing similar thing, then that means maybe that prophet is back again. And Jesus just heard those answers, but he wanted something more than just the answers that they gave here. Meaning people were following him, but they don't know exactly who he is. Now, let me jump to somewhere quickly. Now, that is what the apostles say. But let's look at something that a preacher has written quickly and see if we sitting down here can get a clue out of who Jesus is. This question is not a question that we answer as a group, but you answer it individually. Now, this guy tried to identify who Christ is in the whole Bible. And he started that in Genesis, he's the seed of woman. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's our high priest. In Numbers, he's the cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's the prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, he is the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he is our judge and the lawgiver. In Ruth, he is our kinsman and redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he is our trusted prophet. In 1 and 2 Kings, he is the Lord our King. In 1 and 2 Chronicles, he is our reigning King. In Ezra, he is the builder of broken down walls. In Nehemiah, he is the builder, In Ezra, he is our faithful spouse. In Nehemiah, He's the builder of broken down walls. In Esther, he is our Mordecai. In Job, he is the Redeemer. In Psalms, he is the Lord, our Shepherd. In Proverbs, he is our Wisdom. In Ecclesiastic, he is our Love. In the Songs of Solomon, he is our Beloved, Fair One. In Isaiah, he is the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, he is the Balm of Gilead. In the Lamentations, he is the Weeping Prophet. So when somebody says he is Jeremiah, the person is somehow right. Now, in Ezekiel, he is the Wonderful Four-Faced Man. In Ezekiel, he is the Wonderful Four-Faced Man. In Daniel, he is the fourth man in the fairy furnace. We heard a story that when the three guys were put in the furnace, there was a fourth man dressed in white who joined them over there. And the book is saying that Jesus is that fourth man. In Hosea, he's the faithful husband. In Joel, he's the Holy Ghost baptizer. In Amos, he's the burden bearer. In Obadiah, he is mighty to save. In Jonah, he is our foreign missionary. In Micah, he is the messenger with beautiful feet. In Nahum, he is the avenger of God's elect. In Habakkuk, he is God's evangelist. In Zephaniah, he is our savior. In Haggai, he is the restorer of God's lost heritage. In Zechariah, he is the fountain open in the house of David. In Malachi, he is the son of righteous with healing wings. That is Jesus in the Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, in Matthew, he is the Messiah. In Mark, he is the wonder worker. In Luke, he is the Son of Man. In John, he is the Son of God. He is the Word. From John 1 downwards, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in the book of John, he is the Son of God. In the Acts, he is the foundation of the church. In Romans, he is the justifier. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, he is our sanctifier. In Galatians, he is the redeemer from the curse of the law. In Ephesians, he is the Christ with unsearchable riches. In Philippians, he is the God that supplies all our needs. In Colossians, he is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he is our soon coming King. In 1 and 2 Timothy, he is the mediator between God and man. In Titus, he is the faithful pastor. In Philemon, he is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In Hebrews, he is the blood of the everlasting covenant. In James, he is the greatest physician. In 1 and 2 Peter, he is the chief shepherd. In 1 and 2 John, he is love. In the book of Jude, he is the Lord coming with thousands, 10,000 of his saints. And in Revelation, he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That is what somebody has put together as identity of Christ in the Bible. Now the question comes back again. Who is Jesus to you? We're going to use the book of John from chapter 1, from the verse 1. Even after here, you try to meditate on it and you have a better clue of who Jesus is, and from that one you pick who he is to you. Because to each and every one of us here, we see Jesus differently. Maybe to you, he's your savior. Maybe to you, when you are sleeping, he's always there for you. Everybody has his own way of identifying Christ. Even though we have only one Christ, the way you talk to him is different from another person. For instance, I have a friend. This friend is very good. I don't know if that is his gift or that is spirit. He's very good at targeting when people are ready to have lunch or dinner. Before you realize, the friend is there. Sometimes he may not be hungry, but just to be present there and taste the food with you. So he has been visiting these particular guys, and one day, when they are about to eat, immediately they finish praying, the guy just opened the door again. And the reaction of this guy is Jesus. So the guy who was about to start eating, seeing this guy entering, he shouted, Jesus. So maybe he's calling Jesus to stop the guy from coming in and eating the food with him, or I don't know why he shouted Jesus at that particular moment. So to everybody, let's try to know Jesus. Let's try to understand who he is to us. And this question also is very good when you are going on a mission. Very soon, some people here will be going to India, Cambodia, Philippines for missions work. And it's like some of them will come around to solicit it for something to support when they come accept them, because they are going to do a great work there. There are lost souls over there. They are going to tell them who Christ is. Sometimes when you approach somebody, you want to talk to him about Christianity, they will tell you that, oh, I've been hearing people talking about the Bible. I've been reading the Bible. I don't necessarily need to go to church or come to church, because they will know that I'm a Christian. Some people just ask us to come to church because they need money. Some pastors will encourage you to come. Those are the excuses some people will be giving you. They don't want to come. They think that they know it all. But you can bring them down to earth with this simple question. Who is Christ to them? Do they just take what it is in the Bible, that Christ is the King of Kings, is this and this? Christ is all those things. But to you personally, who is he to you? Now let's go back to our sermon. Okay. So after giving all these answers, Jesus didn't say much, but he gave them their personal tests. Okay, next one. No. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? To the disciples, who do you say that I am? To us all here, Christ is asking, who do you say that Christ is? And this question is not a question that you just stand up and give an answer. Because Christ knew, he already told them who he is, but now the same person is asking you again, who do you say I am? Now, usually, Peter serves as the spokesperson of the disciples, not always, but mostly he speaks on behalf of the apostles. In other cases, there were some other people who answer. So Simon Peter answered and said, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." Amen. You are Christ, the Son of the living God. The answers that people gave earlier was different from what Peter is giving. And Jesus knew very well that this answer didn't come out from Peter himself. So he said something to him. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon by Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Flesh and blood does not reveal this answer to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Most of us think that, oh, we already know who Jesus is with our earthly knowledge. We read in the Bible that Jesus is this, that, that. We hear people preaching that Jesus is this or that or that. Have you sat down one day and communicate with your Father? To communicate with God? To ask him to reveal who exactly is Jesus to you? If you have not done it yet, I think during one of your quiet time, you try to meditate, you talk to God for him to reveal to you personally who Christ is. And this answer of Peter is what exactly Jesus wanted. When you are talking to some people to come to Christ, they'll tell you, oh, the Bible is full of controversies. Some of us also think that the Bible is full of controversies. But is the Bible controversial? No, I don't think so. Because we just read it with our carnal mind. You just sit down. This particular verse, when Jesus asked them to tell him who he is, when you get to verse 20, before I get there, Jesus told us in the Bible that, go and make, yes. But the verse 20 here, Jesus is telling the apostles after revealing who he is, or after answering the question perfectly, he said that, but don't go and tell them that I am the Messiah. Controversial or not? Don't go and tell them that I am the Messiah. And when you read it over and over, you realize that there is nothing like controversy there. Because Jesus has come for a particular purpose. And Jesus doesn't want to spoon feed the others. Once they told him that, he tells them that, oh, I am the Messiah. Some will not even believe him. Some will not even listen to him. But his mission is that through his works, through his missions, through his miracles, they will get to know him. So he told the apostles that don't go and tell them now that I am the Messiah. They have to get the answer themselves. So he asks us to go. After he has accomplished everything that he's supposed to prove for them to know that he is the Messiah, that is when he asks us to go preach to the world that he is the living God. He is the Son of the living God. And you can't see the Father, you can't go to the Father without passing through him. He said he is the light. And the Bible also said in John 1 downwards that he is the light. The answer that people were referring to him as John the Baptist was already in John 1. When you read John 1 down, there was a man. His name is John. He is not the light, but to bear witness of the light. I think if those people had Bible those days, they read it, they would know that John the Baptist is never the Messiah. He is coming to prepare the way for him. And maybe they will not give that answer that he is the Messiah. Amen. And that answer comes with a reward. The answer that Peter gave was the foundation of the church, was the beginning of the church. The church is built on the gospel of truth. The church is built on the gospel of truth. And the truth is that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. And when we are reciting the Apostle Creed or whatsoever, we emphasize on that one. He was born of flesh, he died, and all those things prove that he is the Son of the living God. And his resurrection is the final proof that indeed he is the Son of the living God. In other religions, they have a different perspective, especially about Jesus. Some say he's just one of the prophets. He's not the Son of God. But Peter let us know that he is the Son of the living God. And his resurrection has cemented it, that indeed there is no prophets or no other gods from any other religions. No person from any other religions went down and conquered the death and came back again on the third day. Amen. So he said to him, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." So Peter, the truth, the revelation that Peter gave was what Jesus built the church on. The church was built on the answer that Jesus gave. So today, if any other people, any other preachers are saying anything that Christ Jesus is not the Messiah, he's not the Son of the living God, flee from them. Flee from them. Because the other day in the book of Matthew, Jesus said that when it is getting to the end, such people will be coming, that he is the Christ, he is this, he is that, follow me, and all those things. When such people comes around and he cannot confess that Jesus is the Messiah, he is the Son of the living God, let's flee from the person. Amen. Now, finally, the verse 19. Upon that one, he has given them the power that you have the church. We build the church. You are the foundation of the church. And everything that you bind on earth shall be what? Bounded in heaven. And everything that you lose on earth shall be loosened in heaven. This does not directly mean that when they come here and they take rope and bind something here, it is bounded in heaven. Jesus is talking about the doctrine, the foundation of the church. Because Peter has the gospel of truth. The apostle knows exactly who Jesus is. They know the truth. So when they speak unto you, they are telling you the truth. Whatever they tell you, it is not just from their carnal mind, but from the spirit. Because Jesus says that it is not flesh that will reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. So when they bind anything here, which are the doctrine of the church, not any other doctrine that other churches are bringing in, the doctrine that Christ has laid down, when you follow the book, you realize that he puts some doctrines down. And even when the apostle, after his resurrection, and he sent the Holy Spirit down, they were having some doctrines as well. Some people interpret those doctrines in a different way to build their churches on it. But when you ask God, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to explain to you, to talk to you what this exactly doctrine is, you are following the truth. We are following the truth. Amen. Go down. So my time is always up. But again, we can meditate on the book of John from chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. Nothing was made that has been made, if not because of Jesus Christ. The Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. So the question we are taking back today is, who is Christ to you? Now, the lesson that I take from it, which might be different from the lesson you have taken from it, is your personal opinion. Before Jesus asked the question, he has his personal opinion. He told them that the Son of Man, who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am? You believe in yourself. What you know, your capacity, go about it. The external opinions will just shape you. But your personal opinion about yourself is what will take you to your destination. Now, people's opinion about you. Jesus didn't seek the opinion of his enemy, his critics, or whatsoever. He didn't ask, what do the Gentiles and the Pharisees say I am? He could have been specific because he knows that they always talk about him. But he said, what do people that follow him, people that know him? You can't just go to your enemy and seek for their opinions. They'll give you a wrong opinion to rather push you down. So know from who you get your advice. Know from who you get your advice. Then, if you now understand or you know who Christ is to you personally, you cannot just keep it, but you have to share it with people. Go to the world. Tell people that, to me, Christ is this or that. And in general, this, that is what identifies Christ. And you help the person to also make his decision as to who Christ is to him personally through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the last one is taking us again out to be disciples of Christ, to win more souls for Christ, to tell them who Christ is exactly. I pray that we take our personal lessons from it and try to put it into practice and save the world. Because Jesus needs more laborers. People are going to India, people are going to Sri Lanka, and Christianity in some of those countries are 0.002, 0.00, very, very little. Countries are 0.5% Christianity, 0.002% Christianity. We can't just sit down here and think all is well. Be your brother's keeper. We can't be here and wait for other people to go to destruction. We have to lead them to salvation and not help them to go to destruction. So, if you are here and you have not made the decision yet who Christ is to you, I think this is the time. And XICF has put all the measures in place to help us to identify ourselves in Christ, to identify who Christ is unto us. There are some discipleship classes. There are some small groups where they have Bible discussions. Please, if we are not part of any and we still don't know who Christ is unto us, let's do well and join those classes. They are not going to teach you who Christ is to you, but they are going to help you to identify the presence of Christ in you, who Christ is to you personally. So if anybody needs such information, where to go, you can contact me, you can contact the chairman, you can contact our mother Tess, you can contact any of the ushers. They will tell you when do they have the classes, when they have the discussion, so that we all go and identify who Christ is exactly unto us and help others to take that same path. Amen. Let's pray. Father Almighty, once more, we thank you for being with us throughout the service. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that, Father, help us to identify ourselves in Christ. Help us to know who exactly you are unto us through the help of the Holy Spirit. And, Father, push us out to go there and make more people understand who you are unto us. Father, as we are leaving this place, we pray that continue to protect and bless us. Let your Holy Spirit never depart from us. And, Father, guide us in everything we do. We thank you. We glorify your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let's rise for the blessing.